Good morning, and welcome to the Slippery Slope of Lipids, hosted by Charlotte County's own Dr. Elizabeth Triana from the Triana Prevention Center. Today's show is a call-in show. Jot our number down, 206-1580, or toll-free, 888-441-1580. Now, here's Dr. Elizabeth Triana.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to talk to you today. I am just so happy about being able to bring so much information to my radio audience about their health. And as you know, the show is The Slippery Slope of Lipids and Other Medical Issues. So yes, we welcome callers. We want to get people to call, ask questions. As you all know, I'm a lipidologist, and I have a prevention center, which is to prevent the number one cause of death in all of us in America, which is the heart attack and vascular disease. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about numbers. Everybody asks me, what numbers are we looking at? What are the main things we have to look at? Well, in 1948, the Framingham Heart Study began. 1948, boy, that's a long time ago. That was before I was born. But anyways, they gathered information about risk factors for heart disease. So we're going to talk about which we have before. And good morning, Cece.
Good morning, doctor.
We're going to talk about some numbers about your risk factors for heart disease. Last week, we talked about the metabolic syndrome, mm-hmm. how we measure our waist, we look at our blood pressure, we look at our healthy cholesterol, we look at our triglycerides, and we look at what our number is for our fasting blood sugar or glucose. The Framingham Risk Score puts together five main parameters, five main things. So, what are we looking at? And they broke this up into women and men.
Okay.
Because we each have different risk. So, the number, and they give points to all these factors. So, what is one of them? It's your total cholesterol. Now, remember, this is based on a study that's over 50 years old. And they have also what's called the Framingham Offspring Studies. So they've been updating this all along. So when we look at what is your risk, so people ask me, what does the word risk mean? Well, risk means what is your chances of having this event? So what are your chances of having a heart attack? So if someone says you have a 10% risk, that means that if there's 100 people in a room, 10 of those people are going to have a heart attack.
Wow. So now if you have just a 10% risk, I'm guessing you take different steps with that patient compared to a patient that has a 50% chance.
Right. We look at everything based on risk, but one of the more newer concepts of treating vascular disease is called the Bale-Dohnine method, which we don't just look at your risk, we look for disease. Mm-hmm. Like we said on the first show, if we find plaque in your arteries, well, you have disease.
Okay.
It's the are you pregnant or are you not concept. Okay? So this is a method which I want to bring to light to my audience of what to think about. So, in other words, in women, your age makes a difference, and that gives you a certain amount of points.
Mm-hmm.
Your total cholesterol, if your total cholesterol is less than 160, that's zero. So the lower the points, the better.
So total cholesterol is when you take in the factor good and bad?
Well, the total cholesterol is a mathematical formula.
Okay.
The Friedlinghaus formula.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, that takes into account other numbers.
Okay.
Because people ask me, why doesn't my LDL and HDL add up to be my total cholesterol? Because that's not. It's a formula, and that's how you get the total cholesterol.
Okay.
Now, so if your total cholesterol is less than 160, that's a much better risk. That means you have less of a chance. So if you're a smoker, that is really a very high risk. That puts you in a very high risk category. Which reminds me, have you seen that commercial recently on television where they say, don't smoke, and they show an artery, an aorta, and they squeeze it?
Oh, yeah.
And it comes out, it looks like ricotta cheese?
Yeah.
That's pretty graphic. But you know what? Smoking is really very bad for those arteries. And not just the arteries of your heart. The arteries of your legs, the arteries of your neck, which feed your brain.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if anybody out there has seen that commercial, but it's pretty intense. I hope it makes a lot of people quit smoking.
So it's a good visual impact, good representation to get people to realize what they're doing to themselves.
Yes, yes. So if you are a smoker, you're in a higher risk category. And also, the Framingham Risk Score looks at your healthy cholesterol. We call that your HDL.
Mm-hmm.
So if your HDL is between 50 and 60, you get 0 points. So the 0 points are better.
Okay.
The higher your number, the worse your risk. And if you're HDL is above 60, that's even better. Remember we talked about the HDL is the garbage truck that goes through the arteries and it picks up cholesterol from under the lining of the arteries,
mm-hmm,
and takes it to the liver and gets rid of it, okay?
Yes.
We call that reverse cholesterol transport. So that's really important.
So that's why we want a high number for the HDL, because that's like basically putting a lot of little garbage trucks in our arteries to remove the bad trash.
Right.
Okay.
And we want the LDL, which I call the lousy cholesterol,
To be low.
So you want it low, and the lower the better, especially if you're at very high risk. Now, the other thing to look at in the Framingham Risk Score is your blood pressure. We want to have your blood pressure less than 120 over 80. If your blood pressure is high, that gives you more risk.
Mm-hmm.
So why is blood pressure important? Because we know that blood pressure also is associated, high blood pressure, with stroke. Uh-huh. So that is another important thing we have to look at. So I hope everybody's listening and they're going to call in and ask questions.
If you have a question for the doctor about what she's speaking about or any other medical question, give us a call at 206-1580 or toll free 888-441-1580.
I want everyone to know that these numbers are very important. And we should either write them down and have them on the tip of our head, or if we can't remember, then write them down. But it is better to know.
Well, people can go to their primary care physician and ask to have these numbers, right?
Right.
They can get a report from their doctor stating what their numbers are?
Yes.
I mean, that's something everybody should do.
Everybody.
And keep that with the list of all their medications they're taking.
Yes, yes.
Doctor, we have a phone call. Good morning. You're on the air. Please go ahead with your question for the doctor.
Yes, good morning. If you quit smoking, if you're a former smoker, does the plaque that was illustrated in that commercial, does that begin to dissolve and remove itself from your arteries? And how long does something like that take, if that's the case?
Well, actually, smoking does decrease the more accumulation of plaque in your artery. But in order to decrease plaque, we need to put on medication, and we also need to have a good diet, exercise, and look at the root cause of why that plaque was built up. So,
if you're on a statin and you don't smoke, you're a former smoker, and you're on a statin-type drug, does that have a beneficial effect?
Yes, it does. It will help you to if you lower your cholesterol, but you also, there's other medicines such as Niaspan, which helps regress plaque. And we'll be having more time talking about the individual medicines. But let me just tell you, if you quit smoking, I am so proud of you, because that is very hard, and it's the best gift you have just given yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, doctor, it also, once they quit smoking, it takes time, but doesn't some of the tar and everything starts clearing out of the lungs also? So it has a beneficial effect that the lungs start getting healthier, that our blood vessels and arteries start getting healthier the longer that they're smoke-free.
Yes. And in fact, there was a study that even when people, unfortunately, were diagnosed with lung cancer as caused of smoking, then just quitting smoking, even then, they had a little bit more time of life.
What about people like me who've never smoked, but we've been around smokers, so we get that secondhand smoke?
That secondhand smoke is also very bad. And it does affect our bodies and our lining of our arteries, our endothelium.
So we also have to think about that if we've been around people that smoke.
Yes.
Oh, our caller hung up. The phone line is open, 206-1580, or toll-free at 888-441-1580.
I mean, we have all seen what smoking does to, I don't know if you've ever been to a house where people smoked, and when you take down the artwork or the posters, there's a yellow line all around it, and there's, well, that is the poisons that are in the cigarette that are lining the walls, lining their hair, getting your lungs.
Good morning. You're on the air. Please go ahead with your question.
I'm 20 years old, and I was wondering at which age should one start measuring cholesterol levels and their lipids?
Well, thank you very much for calling. Yes, you should start checking your lipids, your cholesterol, at the age of 20. Now, the American Pediatric Association, depending on your risk, your family history, they already recommend down to the age of 8.
That just amazes me. Caller, does that answer your question, or do you have a follow-up?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That really amazes me that we've reached a point, and I guess our poor eating and lack of exercise, that we have to start, you know, monitoring cholesterol levels in young people.
Yes, we do.
Good morning. You're on the air. Please go ahead with your question for the doctor.
Yes, good morning. My husband smoked as a young person.
Yes.
And then he stopped, but he also had occluded arteries at one time, and he was able to help that with diet and exercise and vitamin therapy. And he's trying to figure out whether the process of chelation would help clean out the arteries.
Actually, chelation is not FDA approved. If he has disease in his arteries, he needs to be on, he needs to see a lipidologist to see and assess his risk factors and what are his numbers. What is his total cholesterol, his HDL, the healthy cholesterol, the lousy cholesterol, the LDL, and put together a program to help decrease and regress his plaque.
But you don't believe in chelation?
It's not FDA approved. It's not approved.
Not approved. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Doctor, for us who aren't familiar with that term, what is chelation?
Chelation is a way where it's a chemical process where they feel that certain chemicals will attach to that bad chemical and take it and flush it out of your body, to put it very simply. But this has not been approved. Research, as I said, I'm a lipidologist. The standard research that has been going on is to target the numbers that we talked about, your HDL, your waist size, your blood pressure, your blood sugar, your triglycerides.
So really you sort of come back to there is no magic pill or medicine to make it happen. It's a combination of
yes.
knowing what your factors are, your numbers are, and then changing your habits, changing your diet, changing how much exercise you get, and then if need be, taking proper medication like statins.
Right. Remember we talked about that exercise and diet is the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you can't eliminate that. There is no magic pill. As I tell my patients, there's no magic wand.
I wish there was.
I do too. I wish there was one. But right now, there is none. And based on the research and everything, we know that, yes, diet is important, exercise. And we call that therapeutic lifestyle changes,
mm-hmm.
which includes, you know, excessive smoking is not good. Smoking is terrible. Everyone should quit. But excessive drinking is not good. Excessive food is not good. And the sedentary lifestyle is not good. So all these things can be improved upon to decrease your risk. Because why is it important? It is, most of us know that one day we're not going to be here forever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just that. We don't want to be disabled and be a burden to our loved ones and to our families. Mm-hmm. We want to enjoy more good years that we can enjoy our family, enjoy our hobbies, enjoy living in beautiful Charlotte County.
I noticed when I was in your office yesterday, you have a poster up in your waiting room. It's about diet.
Right.
About eating healthy. And it said, you know, more good years, more healthy years. And it was very interesting. And I know that you offer help there at the Triana Prevention Center, that you can work with patients and help them and guide them on, once you get your numbers and you know what your risk factors and you know what your medical history is on, and how you can help them with proper eating and mm-hmm. exercise, and you can sort of, and your wonderful nurse Pat there will help them, you know, food diaries and everything to help make it an easier process and a guided process, because people can feel very lost out there on their own, wondering, you know, am I eating right? Am I not? Is this the right amount of, you know, water today? Am I exercising enough?
Right.
And so you help people with that guidance, which I think is wonderful.
Well, thank you. I think it's all about personal attention. Everyone, when you want to go see your doctor, you want to know that that person is looking at you and caring about you as a total person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I feel. We can't, you know, pigeonhole things. And in order to prevent a cardiac event, we have to look at the whole person. And thank you. I'm very blessed. I have a wonderful staff. And we try to make everyone feel very, as I say, I love my patients. We love them. They love us. And they feel comfortable. And we want to help them. And we want to use help that's proven. Chelation, as this mm-hmm. Lady asked, is not really proven. So I would rather start with the basic. Let's start with things that are simple. We can work on our diet. We can work on our exercise. We can work on our blood pressure. And use these tools like the Framingham Risk Score
mm-hmm.
to help assess. Now, this tool is not 100% going to pick up every person who might have risk for heart attack
okay.
or stroke. So that's why we look at other factors. But I always start with the simple things first. So we're waiting for callers out there. Give us a call. Ask us a question about anything you like in the medical field.
Take advantage of this. How often do you get to have the time for free and to ask a doctor a question and just give us a call? You do not have to reveal your name. 206-1580 or toll-free 888-441-1580. Now, you're talking about there's a difference between men and women.
Yes.
And I know one of the things that in this, when you're looking at things, is waist size. We talked about that last week.
Right.
A woman's waist, we have a lot smaller number.
Yes. A woman's waist should be, if your waist is greater than 35 inches, it puts you in another category. If a man, if it's greater than 40 inches. And when we talked about the metabolic syndrome, that's very important.
And we've got a call here. Good morning, caller. You're on the air. Please go ahead with your question for Dr. Triana.
Hi, doctor. I don't exercise, and I had a stent put in. And can I start out slow? I mean, I just don't want to jump into this thing, and you know, I'm not used to it. What do you think?
Thank you for calling, but yes, you should start to. The first thing to do is to start to walk. If you've never exercised, that's a good way to start. Get a pedometer. A pedometer will measure your steps. The goal is 10,000 steps a day. And then you can also get together, maybe join a gym and work with a trainer to learn some basic workout steps that will help you. But you have to start to move. Even patients who do not do any exercise at all, who only sit, we ask them to, even if they watch TV, to sit up and down during the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, you do need to start doing something, especially since you have vascular disease.
Now, should he check with his physician first on what is safe for him and how strenuous he can be?
You need to check with your physician, but yes, you need to start moving.
Okay, now, how many times a day do you think is necessary?
For exercise?
Or for a week, actually.
Well, actually, it's at least 30 minutes a day of exercise, and usually that includes, you should have at least 30 minutes of cardio, and there's a lot of different thoughts. For example, I've been reading a very good book, Dr. Life. It's called The Life Plan, and you mix that with resistance training and cardio training. So the best thing actually is doing something every day. I myself now have put a proposition out to myself, and I call it 5 for 5. So that means I'm up by 5, and if I do my workout like I'm supposed to, I'm going to give myself $5.
A nice reward for yourself.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, very much so. So I'll just start. A little, so I can start like 5-10 minutes a day and then work myself up.
Yes. And the studies have shown at least 4 times a week, okay?
Okay, well, thank you very much, doctor.
Thank you so much.
So if you've lived a very sedentary life, just a few minutes a day, slowly getting your... You don't have to push yourself the first time out to walk a half hour. You can start around the block or slowly work your way up.
Well, let me tell you, those 10,000 steps are not that easy. If you get a pedometer and you start putting that pedometer on, you will see you've got to really hustle there.
I'm tracking myself today. I have the pedometer on. You can't see it, but it's there, doctor. And I'm tracking myself today, so I'm going to find out at the end of just a normal day where I am at, and then I'm going to have to figure out what I'm going to have to do to increase those.
Yes.
Increase those steps. We're coming down to the last part of our show. Let's squeeze in another phone call. Go ahead with your question, please.
Good morning, Cece. Doctor, I have a question for you. How do you feel about people getting on the internet and self-diagnosing themselves?
Well, I feel that you have to look like everything. I think knowledge is power. I think that you have to look at the resource of where you're getting that knowledge. For example, Mayo Clinic has a great website, WebMD. You have to look, what is your source of information? And, you know, that's pretty much everything we do in life, right?
Yeah. I was driving myself nuts. I would go on there, and whatever the symptom was, it was there, you know? And I just decided that I'm just not going to do it any longer. I would just, you know, see my doctor and and go and take that route there. But I know a lot of people that go on there and they drive themselves nuts. They really do.
Yes, you're right. They do. But I still feel that you need to have as much knowledge about your disease as possible.
And maybe what the right way to use the sites is you first go to the doctor.
Right.
You get the diagnosis, and then you can go home and look up that diagnosis and what your doctor said to learn more.
We give our patients handouts and also names of websites for them to go ahead and do research so they can learn and read. And what you're called, in medical school, we call it the third year of medical school, where you learn all these diseases and all of a sudden you think you have it. So it's a human thing that happens. So don't worry, but look at your websites, work with your doctor. The more you learn, I am so happy when my patients know a lot.
Okay.
Thank you so much for calling.
I think that's probably where some people, they don't bother to go to the doctor. That's where the problem lies.
Yes.
And they just self-diagnose, maybe order something offline to treat themselves, which can turn into a real problem.
Well, your doctor and most doctors, we are out there we study, we learn. I'm always going to conferences to help my patients.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead with your question.
Yes, actually, it's not a question. It's information that the doctor was talking about when you read and you understand your condition and you learn from reading.
Yes.
Well, back in 1970, my husband read a book by Dr. Cooper. And Dr. Cooper is the father of aerobics.
Yes.
He's the doctor that invented aerobics.
Yes.
And my husband followed that regime exactly the way he laid it out. It just so happened that his condition was very similar to what the doctor was treating these pilots in the Air Force.
Well, that is wonderful.
And at that time, there was no medication. His cardiologist said he didn't know what to do for my husband because open-heart surgery was just starting.
Well, that is wonderful. You see, and it makes you feel great when you read and you start studying and you learn more about your condition.
Well, he feels that he saved his life because he did the pedometer. And he started very slow. He could only hardly walk without air, without being able to breathe, with pain,
yes,
all kinds of angina pain, and it all eventually disappeared. It took a lot of work and a lot of time. But he was only 44 then, and he's 85 now.
Oh, my.
Wonderful.
God bless him. That is wonderful.
And no medication and no surgery.
That is wonderful.
But it was just what you said. It was diet, it was exercise, and lifestyle.
Yes, lifestyle is the foundation. And you know what? You just said that he read a book, and it saved his life.
Right.
That's why I'm trying to do this radio show.
Yeah.
I want to try to help save more lives and get my patients, my radio patients, and my patients informed about what we can do and what is important. So thank you so much for that wonderful example.
And thank you for the program.
Oh, I hope you keep listening. Thank you.
All right, we're coming down to the last couple of minutes of the show, Doctor.
Well, thank you, Cece. We have so much, you know, I love the phone calls, but we have so much to go over. There is a wealth of information to discuss about prevention, about heart attack and stroke and diabetes, and every caller today, it was wonderful.
Now, Doctor, if there are people out there listening who are really curious about what the risk factors are, what their numbers are, how can they go ahead and make an appointment with you so they can get started in learning?
They can call our office at 941-625-1990. And we also have a website. And I'm very excited that we're going to start putting our shows, this radio program. So if you missed a program, you can go to the TrianaPreventionCenter.com and you can listen to the shows.
Very good. All right. Well, it was really nice seeing you.
Thank you so much.
And we hope that we've helped a lot of people. And we thank you for all the wonderful phone calls today. And we hope you'll be back here to join us again next Friday, where we will learn more on really how to have a healthier long life.
Yes, a healthier long life. And one of the topics we're going to talk about is continuing to be healthy.
I like that. I like the sound of that a lot, Doctor. Have
thank
a great
you.
Weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Slippery Slope of Lipids, hosted by Charlotte County's own Dr. Elizabeth Triana. For more information on the topics discussed here today, call the Triana Prevention Center at 941-625-1990.